You like a copy of God's Word here in Newcastle this afternoon? Free offer. It is an extract from the Bible, from God's Word, offered to you freely. And of course, without any cost, any obligation to you, that is. If you would like one, then do feel free to ask for one. It is God's Word, and is powerful, you know, and instructs the simple and brings wisdom. The wisdom, of course, that leads to God's salvation. You would like one, then I would love to give you one. Or maybe, perhaps, you could have one of my leaflets. I have one here entitled, You Shall Not Murder. I don't know what your thoughts might be on that issue. You might say, well, I'm not a murderer, but of course there is much murder that goes on in our society. You know, the murder of innocent people. You know, the unborn abortion. Don't you know, I don't know what you think about this, but don't you know the abortion lobby, they are lobbying for, they want a change in legislation. They want children in their mother's womb up until birth, up until, you know, up until the point of birth, for any reason whatsoever to be aborted, that is to be murdered. We're a nation, don't you know, with blood in our hands because of these millions of unborn children slaughtered in their mother's wombs. This ought not to be, friends. So that's one, you shall not murder. Got another one here, pride. The Bible has a lot to say about pride. We're proud of a lot of things, you know, in this nation of ours today. We celebrate pride in filth and immorality. And we have parades this time of year celebrating our filth, our sexual immorality, perversion and deviance. That ought not to be either. So take one of these, review yourself and see what God has to say about pride. It goes before a fall. Well, I hope for you, at least anyway, that your pride would not lead you to a rejection of God, His gospel, His love, and His salvation. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and don't be proud. That's the answer, not pride. And of course, when you stop and think about it, what is man? What has man got to be proud of? I mean, here you are, you and I. All we are is just a tiny little speck of sinful dust on the horizon of God's universe. And we think we know it all. We think we're something. We think we're cool. We think we're clever. Friends, we need to get real. We need a reality check. And of course, the place to get a reality check is, is in God's Word, you know. It's very sobering. It brings us down to the level, you know, that, where we should be. That we are, you know, before God, absolutely nothing. Sinfully nothing. And so much in need of God's salvation that He has, you know, produced, made known to us, and continues to make known to us through the proclamation of the gospel, such as here today. So, you like a copy of God's Word, like I say, or one of my leaflets is offered to you, no cost, no obligation to you, yours for the taking. Of course, there's a lot of, you might have noticed, I don't know, but there's some people, they tell me that happiness, you know, happiness is what we need. And happiness, of course, is, they would say is the chief end of man. Does it matter if it makes me happy? Okay, so it's immoral. Okay, so it's against God. So, okay, it's against the Bible. But hey, if it makes me happy, does it really, really matter? But here's the thing, friends, it doesn't make us happy. Because if happiness, if that's the chief end of man, well then, you know, we've got it wrong on so many levels, because there's not many happy people about. I don't see many happy, you know, you got a nice summer day here in Newcastle, but I don't see much happiness. I hear a lot of fighting and bickering, a lot of falling out. I see a lot of miserable faces from one end of the year to the other. Now, if happiness is your goal, you know, then, well, I got to say you failed. But then, of course, you got to look, you know, happiness is an effect, you know, it's not a cause. So what's the cause? What is it that would make a person truly happy? And I mean continually happy. And what is it, of course, that causes the misery? In order to get a cure for something, you know, you go to the doctor because you got some kind of malady, you know. You want the doctor what? Not just like a plaster on you. You know, you want the doctor to find out what's the cause of this? What's making me cough, you know? What's making me sick, you know? And of course, the doctor, if he's worth his salt, you know, he's going to dig down deep. He's going to find out what's causing it in order to rectify it. So what causes the misery? Well, you got this saying amongst you, don't you? You know, you use it, you know, I suppose without much of a thought. Look at him, he's as miserable as sin. Look at her, she's as miserable as sin. Sin, you see, is the cause of the misery. Take away the sin, and you take away the misery, and you bring happiness. But of course, the problem is we love our sin, you know. And of course, that's the controversy that God has with us. You know that we are born in sin, we're conceived in sin. We have these sinful natures that are in love with sin, you know. And that's why God says, that's why he complains, that's why you won't come to the light, you know, because your deeds are evil, and because you like it, you love it that way, it's your nature, it's how you live, naturally speaking. And so in order for that misery to be taken away, in order for the cause, you know, the sinful nature, you know, to be altered, well, it would seem to me that would take much more than religion, much more than politics, much more than men's philosophies. It would seem to me that would take something like akin to a miracle. A miracle, of course, is something that only God... A miracle is something, you know, that's... It's like throwing nature in reverse, you know? The natural order. Extraordinary. It would take a miracle. And that's what it would take, you see, that... Well, that's exactly what Jesus means when he says, you must be born again. You got to be born from above, you know? There has to be a miracle from God, you know, that will throw your nature into reverse thrust, so that instead of loving sin, you hate it. Instead of delighting in sin, that which causes the misery, instead of delighting in the sin, you delight in God, and you delight in God's, or God's ways, as opposed that is to your ways. You start loving what you once hated, and hating what you once loved, you know. But you want, you know, here's the trouble, you know. All the time we're treating the effects instead of the cause. And that way, you never get rid of the unhappiness, you never get rid of the misery, and you never will. You extract sin from the human race, and then you would have a human race that is totally happy. But of course, you love the sin, like I say, and so you're stuck with the misery, and you're never going to get rid of the misery until you deal with the root cause, the sin. And of course, well, that requires of you obedience to the gospel, my gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, that delivers men and women from their sin and from its misery. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Saved from your sin and from its misery. if you like. I mean, don't take my word for it, take God's word for it. This is what God says concerning the human race, dead in trespasses and sins, walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see, that's the state of condition, dead. Dead in our trespasses and sins. Dead as far as God is concerned. No communion with God, cut off from God, separated from God because of our iniquities. That is our rebellion, our anarchy against God and against heaven. Separated from God. Not that God's a million trillion miles away. Oh no, he's very close. It's not a geographical separation. God is so very close to you. In fact, the Bible answers the philosopher's question. The things that philosophers from day one have been looking into and asking the question. Where does life, where does motion, where does being come from? And the Bible answers that question and has been answering it for 6,000 years. In God, you have life, motion, and being. But you see, cut off from God, well, God's close. He's so very close to you. If he was physical, you could reach out your hand and touch him. No, you live and move and have your being in God. But here's the thing, friends, he's present with you, not in love, not in grace, not in his favor, but he's present with you in wrath. You see, the Bible says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against the ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold the truth, who suppress, hold down the truth in unrighteousness, in our wickedness. You see, we don't want there to be a God. That's why you invent things like false religions. That's why you invent things like cults and sects, you know. That's why you invented the religion of evolution, you know. Because you don't want there to be a God. You suppress, you hold the truth in unrighteousness, the truth of the knowledge of God that you've got, that every man has got. There's not a man, woman, and child born into this world who doesn't know that God is. But you live in self-deceit, self-denial. You live with your head buried in the sand like the veritable ostrich, you know? Trying to pretend, trying to kid yourself on. There's no God, you know? I can do as I please, live as I like. But, well, you want to go that way. You carry on, but enjoy the misery as you go. Enjoy the pain, enjoy the suffering, enjoy the punishments, enjoy the wrath of God that's upon you as you travel through this valley of death. Because that's the cause of the misery, your separation, the lost communion with God, separated from God as a result of your iniquity, your sinful rebellion against God. So that's, you know, the misery, you know, that's caused by man's fall into sin. Bible tells us God made man upright in the beginning, but man has sought out many inventions, inventing all kinds of things, political maneuvers, philosophical ideas, false religions, everything and anything but the way back to God from the dark path of sin. Rather live in your misery, of course, than repent and believe the gospel and trust in God, the one who made you and gave you your being. But in the beginning, it wasn't like that. Your first parent, my first parent, Adam and Eve, they fell into sin. Adam brought the sin into the world and all the suffering and death with it. Now, of course, passed on through the generations, right to this very time. Your parents got a sinful child, and of course your children will get sinful children in their likeness too. You can't get a clean thing out of an unclean. So how can you get clean children out of unclean parents? This is not possible. So we all of us, you see, because of that fall, man's catastrophic fall into sin, you see, has brought this misery. It's the consequence of sin. Misery goes with it. You say, well, I like my sin, I love my sin, I'm not going to let my sin go. You know, you stick your fingers up at God, and you say, I'm going to go my own way and do my own thing. Well, you carry on, but enjoy the misery. Because the misery is not going to go away, because that's part of the deal of rebellion against God. That's part of the deal. That's part of the package. Misery goes with sin. Happiness only goes with holiness. And of course, you got constantly the displeasure of God. That's what is meant when the Bible says the wrath of God is revealed. You say, well, where's it revealed? Well, look around you. Listen, open your ears. Listen to what your fellow men and women are saying. Look at what they're doing. Look at what's going on in your society. Maybe sometimes you're sick of it. Maybe sometimes you say, you know, this society is going to the dogs. Maybe sometimes you say, you know, some of us, I've heard it said, you know, that the world's, people say the world's going to hell in a handbasket. I've had people say, you know, that the lunatics have taken over the asylum. You know, you see some of the things that are propagated in your society. The Labour Party, I just read the other day, there's a man, you know, they've appointed as a woman officer in their party, but only on Wednesdays. That's because on Wednesdays, he self-identifies as a woman. You see what I mean? Their brains are rotten, man. Their brains are rotted with sin, rebellion, anarchy against God, anything that defies God. So you see, that's the way it is, you know. That's the way it is, and that's the cause of the misery. You know, the anarchy against heaven. But like I say, you know, it's because of these things, you know. Because of the, you know, the displeasure, the wrath of God. That's what it looks like. It's revealed from heaven against the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And that's how it's expressed in your society. God given men and women over to reprobate minds to do the things that they ought not to do. Filthy, unclean things, unspeakable things. Things that you did, well, you wouldn't, no decent person at least anyway, would mention in public. Ah, but the things that go on in your society publicly out in the open, things that are propagated by your government, legislated for, such filth and uncleanness that is unspeakable, I tell you. It's the wrath of God. It's what God's given you over to as a result of your iniquity, your rebellion against God. It's what God's given your society, your nation over to. And there's only one way back from it. Only one way to happiness, and that's the way of repentance. A turnaround, a change of way, and a change of thought. Returning to God's thoughts, thinking God's thoughts after Him. Obeying God, obeying the gospel, repenting and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That forgiveness, that forgiveness, that holiness, that happiness, that true happiness, everlasting happiness might be yours. And so you see, as a result of this fall, and that's why you see you all be miserable, it's because by nature now, you see, man is a child of wrath, under the wrath of God constantly. It's like a sword hanging over you, you know, and waiting to fall upon you at any given moment. I mean, here you are today. I mean, read the sign. Read the sign. The moment you die, you meet with God. And that day's going to come. You know, the sword of God's wrath is going to fall finally and fully and take you out of this world. Who knows, maybe somebody here in Newcastle today, under my voice, sound of my voice, you put your socks on this morning but you won't take them off, the undertaker will take them off. You're going to cock your toes up just like all of the men is appointed unto men once to die. After that, the judgment, all you say, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Nobody ever came back to tell us what happens after death. Yes, they did. Jesus did. And he tells us in His Word. This is His Word. He says, it is appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. Then you get the full, consummate wrath of God. But you see, it hangs over you now. As you walk through God's world, as you breathe God's air, as you eat God's food and drink God's water, His patience, His forbearance with you is just totally amazing. It's not the judgment of God. It's not the wrath of God that surprises me. I wonder to myself why He doesn't wrap the whole thing up and just burn it all up and us with it. We're so wicked and evil. Now what surprises me is the forbearance of God. To know that He patiently waits. And that He even permits the gospel still to be declared amongst you. That some of you might be saved through faith in Jesus' name. But there you have it, you see. Children of wrath by nature, not children of God. Some people live with the delusion, you know, that they're children of God. Well, we're all children of God, aren't we? We're all made by God, the one maker. That's true, but that doesn't make you a child of God. How does a person become a child of God? Well, the Bible says He came to His own, Jesus that is. He came to His own people, the Jews, Israel, but they received Him not. But to as many as did receive Him, to them He gave the right, the authority, the power to become children of God. You'll become a child of God by faith. Until you believe, until you sincerely and truly believe with a God-given faith in Jesus Christ, I tell you, you are and you remain a child of wrath. Under the holy displeasure of God. So you see where the misery comes from. You see why you live all your days in misery and unhappiness. And no matter what you get, no matter what you achieve, and the moment you get it, you know, a brand new Aston Martin, a brand new Mercedes, or Ferrari, or whatever is your ultimate dream, the moment you've got it, whatever it is, it falls flat. You're wanting for something else, because there's nothing created in all this world that can bring lasting happiness to men and women. Only communion with God, only a right relationship with God, only the knowledge of your sins forgiven and reconciled to Almighty God through His Son Jesus Christ, and walking in the way of holiness, that alone is the pathway to happiness. But the misery of sin continues, because that's the state and condition in which we're born, in which we live, and which I dare say the majority of you here today in Newcastle will die in. Unless that is God, by His grace and kindness, and by His love, causes you to be born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. So, friends, you know, we're born slaves. You know, some people, they think, you know, that slavery came to an end, they say, William Wilberforce, some 200-300 years ago, he brought an end to slavery in our country. And of course, Abraham Lincoln, he did his bit over in the United States of America. But it's not true, slavery still continues. You see, we're all of us born into sin. Every single one of us are born into slavery. Slaves to sin, slaves to your master, the devil. I mean, you try kicking against it. You know, you try say, well, you know, okay, I got a sinful nature, but I'm not going to do what it tells me. You try to run against it, you know. Take the commandments of God, no other God but God. No adultery, no thieving, no lying, no coveting, no stealing. You try living contrary to your nature. I tell you, you won't get past the first hour, never mind a whole day. Now, your master is sin, and your master cracks the whip. It tells you what to do, and you must do it. Because you're a slave. You're a slave. To a man, to a woman, we're born into slavery. And the only freedom fighter that we've got, the only one who can set you free is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He says so. So slaves, you see, to a man, to a woman, all of us, and slaves, of course, to Satan, because, well, that's why he's got the rule over you. Satan, you see, he's got it on you because you're guilty, because you're sinners. The world's a guilty world. It crucified the Lord of glory. It crucified the Son of God. Satan has this on you that you're a sinner, and you know it. He has you in his snare. And the more you fight and struggle against a snare, if you know anything about snares, you know these animal traps? An animal gets caught in a snare, it fights and it struggles, but the more it fights and struggles, the tighter the snare gets until death comes. So you see, friends, the only one person who has the power to break that snare and set you free, and that's Jesus. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he rose again from the dead. To break the power, cancel the power of sin, and set you free from the thraldom of Satan, your master. The master who truly rules over you. Oh, I'm a free man, you see, I'm a free woman. I can do as I please, I've got free will. Have you? If you're a free man, a free woman, why don't you walk away from all your troubles? Why don't we just walk away from all the social problems we've got? Why don't we just walk freely away from all the drug infestation, all the killing and slaughtering? Why aren't we living in utopia if we're all free? We all want to be happy, don't we? Well, why can't we be? Because you ain't happy, that's why. Because you're miserable and because you're sinful, you're trapped by sin, you're captivated by sin, you're slaves to sin and to its misery. Not free at all. Only free man, only free woman. My woman who's in Jesus Christ, set free by the power of the blood of the Lamb. But then, of course, because of that sin, you see, you are justly, and I say justly because God is just. God is love. God's a lot of things. God's a God of wrath. God's a God of love. Yes, he is. And this is his love. Not the Meghan Markle love. Not the drivel that you heard from Westminster Church last Saturday from the American bishop. That's not love at all. You get that from Whitney Houston. You get that from the Beatles. All you need is love. That's not the love of God, the damned heretic. Preaching that to our nation. Get back to America where he came from. And preach it there. That's not love. This is love. That God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. For God so loved the world, a sin-cursed world, in all its misery, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the death of the cross, to take the death that was due to us and has set us free. That's the love of God. Yes, God is love. But not that drivel that you had last Saturday, if you listened to it. God's a God of love. God's a God of wrath. God's a God of love. God's a God of holiness. But he's a God of justice. And his justice has to be satisfied. So he can't just wink at your sin. He can't just brush it under the carpet. His justice, his law's demands must be fulfilled. But that's what the cross is about. God can be the just and the justifier of the ungodly. Why? Because Jesus took the rap. Because Jesus took the place of the sinner. He took the punishment that's justly due to sinners like you and I. That is when you trust, that is when you believe. When you believe in Jesus. When you believe in his name, when you trust in what he has done, not what you can do. Not what you've done or not done. The history of your life is just one of sorrow, shame, guilt, and disgrace. But Jesus died on the cross to sustain all that. To take all that upon himself. To take your sin away. He's called the Lamb of God in the New Testament, who was taking away the sin of the world, so that you stand on judgment day before God, and not one of your sins, not one of your sins will be brought up, not one of your sins will be examined, no matter how dark, how dirty, how dangerous that sin was, none of your sins will be brought up. Why? Because Jesus, by his blood on the cross, took that sin away as far as the east is from the west. But you gotta believe, you gotta trust, you see? Pastor Rob, that's the only way out of the misery that sin causes. You gotta get to the root of the matter, you gotta get the cause. It's no good dealing with the effects. Get a bottle of whiskey, that'll do that. No, friends, you gotta get down to the root of the matter. The cause is sin. That's what causes the misery. Man's fallen to sin and living consequently in sin. And only Jesus, you know, this is the gospel, friends. You don't hear it in your churches no more. They sing for you, they dance for you, they'll feed you. Some of them will even clothe you, but they won't tell you this. They won't tell you the gospel. They won't tell you the kind of wicked sinner you are. They won't tell you need to repent and believe the gospel. They won't tell you that Jesus, the Son of God, the beautiful Lamb of God, offered to take your punishment upon himself on that cross. That if you believe in his name, he'll take it all away and the misery with it. But will you believe? Will you believe? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. But the misery doesn't finish. Well, you say, well, I'm dead, you know. Well, when life's over and I breathe my last, that'll be it, you know. No more of the misery, no more of the pain, no more of the disease, no more of the suffering. No, friends. No. Your suffering will only just have begun. Because then, my friends, then your misery becomes everlasting. Everlasting. Today, now it can be cured. Now, today, you can be put right with God. But when you breathe your last, when you cock your toes up and go into this world, there's no second chances. There's no such a place as purgatory. It does not exist. Read the Bible for yourself. Yeah, I've read it many times, and I honestly, sincerely tell you, in the Bible, there is no mention of the place called purgatory. There is nothing in between. It's heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. Unbelief, eternal damnation, belief, faith. Thank you, sir. Faith in Jesus Christ gets you heaven. There's an end of the misery forever. Because it brings an end of sin. It's the only treatment, friends, for sin. There is no other treatment. There's no other antidote to it. The blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed on the cross. A propitiation. That means it takes away the anger, the wrath of God, so that the sinner who believes in Jesus, there is not an ounce of anger, of wrath in God towards that sinner. True faith in the gospel. The gospel, the good news, Jesus Christ. Offered to you in the gospel, offered to you in the word of God. That's what the Bible is, friends. Start to finish, it's a promise. It goes right back to the beginning. God promised when Adam sinned. God promised the seed of the woman. That's Jesus. And the Old Testament tells us about how he would come and what he would do and how he would do it and why he would do it. And the New Testament tells us the fulfillment of it all. He did exactly what God said hundreds, thousands of years before he would do. Come and live a blameless and spotless life that you and I can't, and die on a cross for our sins and rise again from the dead to justify us and make us right before God and get us to heaven. Jesus guarantees that. Jesus guarantees that. And he never fails. Never fails. It's the gospel belief, friends. Whosoever shall call in faith, that is, upon the name of the Lord Jesus, that is, shall be saved from sin's penalty and from its misery. Saved from its power that holds you in slavery in his grip. Our friends, believe only believe, says Jesus. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Faith, friends, faith in Jesus. That's the answer. That's the antidote to the misery, because it's the antidote to the sin problem. That's the cause, that's the root behind the misery. So you want to be happy? You got to live with Jesus. You got to obey Jesus. You got to do what he tells you. And the first thing he tells you to do is repent and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand, and you can't enter the kingdom of God but by the way of repentance and faith towards Jesus. So do what he tells you. Do what he commands you to do. Repent and believe the gospel, Newcastle. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. You got it? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. You'd like a copy of God's word? Check these things out for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. Read for yourself. See that these things are so. It's God's word. God promised salvation, redemption by Christ Jesus. You want one, you come and ask for one. Gladly give you one. Freely. No cost, no obligation to you. But don't forget, Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. There is no other Savior. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. None other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus. You like a copy of God's word, you come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious, precious, never dying souls.
That was lovely. It was a powerful word. The Holy Spirit spoke through you, sir. Beautifully, and he does, and he always does.
Sure.
It's always a privilege.
Thank you, sir.
And I just feel so sad people aren't responding to.
I know.
I know, and it
breaks your heart.